Good morning, Barbados. Good morning, Nazarenes. Good morning, one and all. All those of you who are following on the World Wide Web, listening to this gospel presentation, we say a blessed good morning to all of you as well. Once more, welcome to another broadcast of the program, Because He Lives. I am the Reverend Wayne Seal, your speaker for the duration of this month of April. In St. John's chapter 11, we witnessed Jesus raising to life again a man by the name of Lazarus, the brother of Mary and Martha. Having been dead for 4 days, Lazarus's family was at a place of deep grief, despair, and despondency. However, Jesus came to them. The Master was not only able to console Mary and Martha, but offer hope for the future. He also supernaturally called Lazarus forth from the tomb, alive and well. That was in chapter 11. But the account doesn't finish there. For when we skip over to chapter 12 of St. John, we find an elated and ever grateful pair of sisters. So much so that these sisters decided to host a dinner or a banquet in the honor of Jesus the Master. This one who came into their life at a time when they were in deep states of despondency and grief. The one who was able to prove himself to them to be the lifter of their heads. The one whom they proved to be a miracle worker, a friend that sticks closer than a brother. The one who has the capacity to make what appeared to be impossible become possible. The one who was able to turn their darkness into the brilliance of morning light. And the one who was able to turn their mourning into dancing. Yes, please. This very one. They were so filled with gratitude that they decided they were going to host a dinner or a banquet. This morning, I wish to turn some focus on a more extraordinary act done during this dinner hosted in the honor of Jesus at the home of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, located in the little town of Bethany. As I picture the scene of this dinner held in honor of Jesus in chapter 12 of John, I can see Martha busily serving Jesus and his disciples, perhaps along with other relatives and friends who were also invited to share in this beautiful moment. And over the sound of the cutlery and muted laughter, the voices of those still in shock also, you know, seeing Lazarus having been dead for 4 days and sitting here and eating, I can see the folks now, the conversation wrapped up around how was this even possible. And I can also see them feeling a bit overawed at being in the very presence of this powerful individual who would have given life once more to a dead man. But as John would have presented this passage, at some point in time during the course of the meal, Mary asked perhaps for an excuse, and she would have maybe disappeared out of sight, only to return shortly after. This time, returning with a jar of precious ointment. Now, what she decided to do when she came back to this group of individuals that were there, to their amazement, she knelt at the feet of Jesus, intentionally kneeling at the feet of Jesus and breaking open what was an alabaster jar of precious spikenard, she proceeded to bathe, or rather lavish, Jesus' feet with this most expensive perfume. The beautiful and powerful aroma of the perfume must have permeated the entire house, even filtering into the streets. All of a sudden, the chatter that surrounded Lazarus' resurrection came to a halt. Everyone instantly stopped what they were doing, and all eyes were now drawn, riveted to this mind-blowing and incredible act that was unfolding before their very eyes. Now, I want to say to us that in this time frame, washing of feet was something that was not unusual. It is expected that the servants and so would wash the feet of guests. But here is it that this beautiful lady in Mary is breaking open her alabaster jar and anointing, washing, lavishing Jesus's feet with his content. What an expensive washing of feet. In the Church of the Nazarene, this most impressive act of Mary has formed the basis for a special compassionate offering collected in the church. And this offering is known as simply the alabaster offering. The alabaster offering in the Church of the Nazarene is a special sacrificial offering given for the purposes especially of building churches and parsonages, mission schools, and even hospitals. But in addition to being an inspiration for giving, Mary's sacrificial offer to Christ also teaches us a few powerful lessons about what true worship really is all about. And so this morning, I want to take some time as we go through to lift a few of the thoughts that are found, that can be gleaned from this particular passage of scripture. I say to you that Mary's sacrificial act was an act of worship. What is worship, you may ask? The most biblical words for worship speak to falling prostrate before God, bowing down in obeisance before God, and the giving or the ascribing of worth to God. Worship, therefore, can be defined as speaking gloriously and acting appreciatively, reverently, thankfully, and submissively to God. One person says true worship is the individual's positive response to the manifested presence of God in his or her life. It is a personal and positive response to God's goodness, God's faithfulness, and God's graciousness to us. Mary, therefore, is teaching us some things. And one of the things that I first note here about Mary is that Mary is teaching us that true worship is really personal. True worship is personal. It is our own response, a personal response to God. It is a worship out of reflection. Reflection for the awesomeness of God, his loving, tender mercies, his compassion that never fails, is when we are able to experience that, experiencing a God who is loving towards us, even though we in our wretched state and imperfect nature. He looks beyond our faults, and yet he sees our needs and responds to those needs. One songwriter says, "When I think of the Lord, how he saved me, how he raised me, how he fills me with the Holy Ghost, how he healed me to the uttermost. It makes me want to shout, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, you're worthy of all the glory and all the praise. If there is one person who has much to give God thanks and praise for, it is Mary. Mary would have been a recipient of the goodness and the loving kindness of God. It was Jesus responsible for the life of her brother. Here he was in this very room on that day, eating, maybe laughing. And to think that this same very Lazarus would have died until his body was stink. And now he has been restored back to life again. One can only fathom how grateful, how much love and respect and appreciation both Mary and Martha would have had for Jesus. Mary's love, respect, and gratitude for Jesus on that day knew no bounds. Mary's action has nothing to do with the thought of the opinions of those that were around them. Her actions were purely motivated out of gratitude for Jesus. You know, so often, beloved, we allow the actions and the opinions of people around us to dictate and to determine the mode and the extent of our expression of worship to our Lord. Mary shows that every person must demonstrate in his or her own way the extent of their love and gratitude to God. So often we find our own expression of worship contained and constrained by the people around us. Some around us sometimes suggest it doesn't call for all of that. And they seek to dictate how we ought to worship. Worship, however, is personal. And each individual, both in private and corporate, must be free to express their worship before God. My caveat would be, if it is in a corporate manner or a corporate way, if it's done in church, just ensure that your expression is done in a respectful manner, one that does not bring what you are doing or bring the church into disrepute. That's all I would say on that issue. But what I would say to us today that is important for each individual, and that's why I like to say that when it comes to worship, even in the church, corporate worship, the role of the worship leader is not to command people, command to raise your hand, command you to this and command you to that. No, I believe the worship leader is one who leads in the worship. The worship leader can motivate. The worship leader can inspire. The worship leader ought to point to God and help the worshipers to see and to appreciate God's goodness, but leave the expression of that worship to the individual. Some, based upon personalities and based upon the levels and the depths of what God has done for them, will be extremely expressive. And others may very well want to just sit and let tears flow down their cheeks. But that's all right. For it's really not about others. It's more so about your expressing God. In John chapter 4, verse 22 and 24, Jesus said to the Samaritan woman who had issues about worship, she said, a time is coming and is now when true worship will worship the Father in the Spirit and in truth. For they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is a spirit, and his worshipers ought to worship him in spirit and in truth. We are encouraged to personally bless the Lord for his goodness to us. In Psalm 103, verse 1 to 5 says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgives all our iniquities, who heals all our diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, and who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagle. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord, O my soul. So worship really is personal. It's between the worshiper and God, the object of their worship. But Mary also teaches us something else about worship in this one act. Mary also teaches us that true worship is not only personal, but true worship is sacrificial. The perfume held in the alabaster box was worth 1 year's wage. Think about that. Perhaps this perfume was part of her future investment, something she was saving for what one would call the rainy day. But now, in the presence of the one who has proved himself indeed to be the lifter of her head, the one who has turned her mourning into dancing, the life giver and the inspirer of hope, Mary's gratitude on this day knew no bounds. She took her most prized possession, her life investments, and lavished it all on the feet of Jesus. Having poured all out, she wiped her feet, not with a towel, as was customary, but with her hair, highlighting the depths and the level of intimacy of her feelings. Personal, her personal affection and a personal appreciation for her Lord, the giver of life, the restorer of hope. What a sacrifice. There is no real worship, beloved, without sacrifice. And as far back as Cain and Abel, sacrifices have been a form of worship to God. In Genesis chapter 22, we see God commanding Abraham to offer Isaac as a burnt offering. Can you imagine that? As we all do know, it was a test. It was a test of his faithfulness, a test of his loyalty, but I also want to say a test to his object of worship. It was a test. In Romans chapter 12, verse 1 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Now, when the disciples themselves saw what was going on, they did not see Mary's act of worship. They didn't see it as an act of worship. What they saw it as was a waste of money, a wasted opportunity. John records that it was Judas who said the money could be used to buy something or to use for better purposes. You know, very often our sacrifices for God meets resistance from others who are not where they ought to be in their relationship with God. And so sometimes they become judgmental of our expressions of worship and sacrifice to God. The amount of time you spend investing in the kingdom of God is often questioned. Some persons will have the view, well, you don't have to go to church every Sunday. Why do you have to do this and why do you have to do that? So our time is seen very often as a waste. The monies that we give, whether it be in terms of our offerings or in terms of our tithes, we are giving and we're investing that into God's kingdom. But very often, those around us will question that. Are you giving all of that money to the church? And they very well would come up with some splendid ideas as how the money could be used. And let us not talk about talents and gifts. There are many talented and gifted musicians and artisans in the church today who have been approached by secular minds and some very well-intentioned individuals also, who would have sought and who do seek to convince them that using their talent for the Lord, very often for nothing or for pittance, is a waste of time and a waste of talent. Unfortunately, there are also many in the body of Christ who succumb to the seductive words of these individuals, who believe that they are being taken for granted, who hold to the view that their time and their talents are not respected. Therefore, they cannot get the kind of monies that they're supposed to get for it. But when God has done something powerful in our lives, when we are so appreciative of God and we recognize who God is, then the truth is that there's nothing that is too much for God. Our time and our talent, our treasures. There's nothing that we do for God that can ever be compared to all that God has done for us. And that's why I like the song sung by Maya Daniels. How could I not love him back? After all he has done for me, healed my body and set me free, I've got to love him back. Beloved, I want to say to us today that very often there are those around us who observe sacrifices that we offer and they have issues with it. They're not willing to go the length and the breadth that we go to demonstrate, not to man, but to demonstrate to God our love, our commitment, and our gratitude to him for all that he has done for us. Mary's act was done not only out of gratitude, but in a prophetic way, Mary was also anointing Jesus' feet for burial. And this is how Christ saw it. What others saw it in terms of monetary and physical gains, Jesus saw Mary's action as even anointing his feet prophetically for his death. What a glorious act. Mary's act of worship was not only for what he could have done for her, but in this one act, she also suggested that her sacrifice was also more about what he was about to do. Maybe she did not have a clue as to why she was doing all that she was doing. But spiritually speaking, without even knowing it, Mary's sacrifice was for what God would have done for her and also for what he was about to do. As we move closer to the final week of the greatest sacrifice known to man, the death of Christ on Calvary's cross for our redemption, we ought to reflect more upon who he is and upon all that he has done. This Lenten season is one that really has been designed to sharpen our focus and to help us to think more deeply about our Lord and our Master Jesus Christ, the ultimate sacrifice that he would have made for us, and the inspiration behind all that he did, which really was out of pure love for God. The scriptures remind us, therefore, that we ought to love God, not just loving him out of a tradition, not serving him out of traditions, but out of all understanding all that he is and all that he means to us. Beloved, today, we must pause and let me consider that the scriptures remind us that it's not that we first love God, but that he first loved us and offered himself as a sacrifice, a ransom for us. We are reminded in the same John, for God so loved this world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but shall have everlasting life. Jesus Christ came. He came to die. He came to sacrifice, that our lives can be a better life. I don't know about you folks, but I am so happy that Jesus Christ saw me. He looked beyond my faults, saw my needs, and today
I'm a son of God. I'm a child of God, saved by grace. We now in turn must look to ask ourselves the question, to what extent do I love God back? How is my worship? Is it personal? Is it sacrificial? How far am I willing to go to express my love and my gratitude to my Lord? I challenge you today as I close to remember this. God loves you, but God also expects for us to love him back and to offer the highest level of worship to him, because that's what it's all about. Let us pray. Father God, today we thank you for this time spent. We thank you for the word that you would have given, found in the book of John chapter 12. We are thankful, Father and God, that you have left this one act by Mary as a telling reminder of what it really means for an individual to worship you, to love you, and to be gracious and to be grateful for all that you have done. I pray, Father and God, your blessings upon all those who listen today. And for those who don't know you, may they make their calling and election sure before time be too late. This broadcast was brought to you by the Church of the Nazarene and the kind compliments of Federal Motor Spares. Federal Motor Spares is located on Bank Hall Main Road and is a key spot for all your motoring needs. On behalf of our district superintendent, pastors, and advisory board, I do wish you a blessed Sunday and a spirit-filled week. And remember, because he lives, we can face any tomorrow. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know one day I'll cross that river, I'll fight life's final war, life's final